Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. I am so glad you tuned in today. Whether it's on the radio or maybe a podcast or somewhere on the interwebs, you are very warmly welcome here. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. And as always, we love to have folks zip over to the website. That's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. And you can learn, among other things, what in the world an epiclesis is. And as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about that today, Pastor Rick, but I need to introduce you first. Normally on this program, we bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called ancient future faith and about epiclesis, the church. And today is no exception. We have a wonderful guest who is a dear friend and a colleague, and he is also a pastor on the staff at Epiclesis. His name is Rick Ashy. Hi, Rick, and welcome back.
Hey, Chris.
Rick and I both went to the Institute for Worship Studies, and in fact, it's through the Institute that we met one another, and he joined us. It's going on 3 years now, Rick. Mm-hmm. My goodness gracious, and we are so blessed to have him on our pastoral staff. At Epiclesis, we really do believe in community, and that's another thing I think we're going to talk about today, and part of that, Rick, means that the pastors pour their lives into the lives of the folks in our community. But I wanted to talk with you a little bit about Epiclesis, because when I tell people that I pastor a church called Epiclesis, they usually say, Epa what? Or they wonder what in the world that is. Do you get a similar kind of?
Yeah, it's like your church is Epa what-y now? And it actually is kind of fun to talk to people about that. Because originally, well, you should tell the story, but there's so much intentionality to it. And it actually does create a great conversational piece.
Well, hopefully. When the church was first being formed, the church growth types said, well, you need to pick out a name that's really bland. Mm-hmm. And they didn't say the word bland, but that's what they meant. That doesn't really say much of anything about any particular denomination or and make sure that it's easy to pronounce and make sure that it has the word church in the title. And then you're set. And so we listened to all of that and we said, no, we really wanted to have a name that meant something to us and really described who we were, and more than who we were, but who we wanted to be, and described what happens actually at Epiclesis.
And I just thought of this, holds you accountable.
Ooh, that's good. What do you mean by that?
Well, you have to unpack and explain what this word Epiclesis means, but then I'll follow up with this idea of it holds us to a standard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Epiclesis simply means a transforming prayer. It's a prayer. Mm-hmm. And it's a Greek term. It's a theological term. But it's not hard to say. Epiclesis, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S. And yes, I usually spell it, or I hand a business card, or it gives an opportunity for a little conversation. I remember early on somebody said, now, if you use that word, you're going to probably have to have a conversation every time you say the name of the church. And I said, well, good. Yeah. I mean, really, that's okay.
Why not?
Yeah. And it hasn't been a burden, at least I don't think so, because the Epiclesis is not only a Greek term, and it's not only a theological term, and it's not only a transforming prayer, but it's a particular kind of prayer that's associated with the Lord's table. Mm-hmm. So as we talked about in our last radio broadcast, the Lord's table is central to what we do at Epiclesis. We come around the Lord's table or communion every week. And as a matter of fact, not only is the Lord's table central to what we do at Epiclesis, the Lord's table is even central in the room of how we set up the room at Epiclesis.
Right.
So the idea of the prayer that is said at table, when Christian believers come around and they ask God to be present and to send His Holy Spirit to transform us into mm-hmm. covenant keepers and kingdom builders and to bring transformation in our lives as we come around the Lord's table. We thought, yeah, that's yeah. exactly what we want for the yeah. name of a church.
And like we talked about in our last recording, we have three things on our table that is centrally located in our worship space. One is the bread, one is the cup, and then the other is our little lamp, a little oil lamp that mm-hmm. has the flame that, like we said before, we mentioned, is representative, is symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. the presence of Christ in and amongst us. And that's part of what I was saying, is that why it holds us accountable. Because when you think about these things, when you reflect on what that flame symbolizes, it reminds you that you can't just go through this on your own. You're not just getting snack at church. You're not just doing these things by your own abilities. That it is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that is the great gift that was provided to us by Christ and through His act on the cross that is represented in that bread and that cup. And so we are reminded, we are held accountable to the reality that, one, it's not about us, and two, it's not by us, that it is in and through Him, like we are always encouraging and reminding ourselves that we do these things, that we participate, that we remember, that we love on one another, that we bless one another in our gathering. I think especially the prayer itself, and the idea of praying for a specific, unique encounter with the presence of Christ here and now, in this time, in this space, is important for us because it's formative. It's a part of who we are and what we do as a church family.
It makes me sad that the Lord's table has been something that has divided Christians from time to time down through the years. And sometimes folks ask me, okay, so what is it that you believe about the table? So we are not Roman Catholic. We do not hold to the transubstantiation view of the Lord's table. That is to say, we do not believe that the bread and the cup become the actual body and the actual flesh of mm-hmm. Jesus. But rather than try to explain it all, I love the words of John Calvin when he said that rather than understand what happens at the table, I would much rather experience what happens at the table. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery, Rick.
Right.
And we don't need to analyze it or measure it or put it in a beaker and try to scientifically figure out the equation.
Yeah.
We rather come to the table in faith and let these marvelous symbols that are not empty symbols by any means be for us exactly what God wants them to be. Nothing more and nothing less.
Yeah.
And receive them in faith. Yes?
Yeah. I think sometimes too, I try to explain it like this. The way that we approach the table, the bread, the cup, it's a window. As if you were sitting inside a room and you were looking out that window, and the bread and the cup, because they are that mystery, because we can't fully get our arms around understanding all that they are for us, but we get a glimpse into a bigger world that's beyond where we are presently right now. And that again comes back to this, God, we need you. We need you desperately, because otherwise we're going to miss it. We're going to completely miss what's going on. And that's what this whole epiclesis thing is about, is that if we do not recognize, pursue, pray for, seek the presence of the Holy Spirit, then this is just bread cup and it's just a thing we do. And then we move on with our lives.
Empty. Yeah. I think we probably both sat through services where the pastor spends 20 minutes, 30 minutes ahead of the table telling us all the things we're not getting ready to do. You know, there's nothing here, folks. There's no mystery. These are empty symbols and so on. And that's enormously sad to me because I want the Lord's Supper to be everything that Jesus wants it to be and nothing more and nothing less. I hinted at it a minute ago, but in the early church, as they were praying the epiclesis at table, that prayer was not only just about praying over the bread and cup, but it was first praying for us that we, the gathered body, would be transformed. And that's a beautiful thing to pray, especially when we are gathered together as the body of Christ.
It's the reality that it's not just my experience or my encounter with the presence of the Holy Spirit, but it is ours collectively, that each of us individually has that responsibility, that we're hold to that level of accountability, you know, with this idea of the epiclesis. But then that motivates us to kind of co-op and collectively participate together. Like you often say, somebody's experience in worship today may depend on you, may depend on you. The word that you get, the thing that leaps out of your mind's eye about everything that we talked about and experienced this morning, that someone is going to be blessed by you. And so the table is not just a individual thing that we do, but it is collective and participatory. It's the body of Christ, indeed, literally together. And that's such an interesting thing that is so great about who we are and what we are about, because it is built into our DNA. It's expected that when we go to the table and then we linger around the table afterwards, that you will hear from and rub shoulders with spiritually and even physically. I mean, you know, laying on hands and blessing right. one another, that right. you will be blessed by someone else.
Right.
That we are all sitting and waiting and, you know, and hearing from the Lord. I sometimes use the word marinate. You like linger. I like marinate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're here and we're letting this, we're letting this take the time that's necessary so that not only I can be blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, but that I then can become a blessing to someone else.
Well said. So folks, the name of the church is Epiclesis. Say that with me, Epiclesis. One more time, Epiclesis. And it's spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S. You can find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. Let me pause to say that you're listening to a broadcast brought to you by Epiclesis, the church, called Ancient Future Faith, and I'm Chris Alford, the pastor of the church. One of our other pastors, Rick Ashey, is with me in the studio today, and we're talking about things in the church that might be a little unusual to first-time visitors, and the name of the church is a little unusual, we said in a previous broadcast. But at the beginning of this broadcast, Pastor Rick, we also said that we wanted to touch on this notion of community. Mm-hmm. And let me use this as a jumping off point. Mm-hmm. Just before the break there, you were talking about how when we are gathered there together at church on Sunday morning, that we are together the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think some people sometimes miss that one of the most obvious symbols in the worship service is the gathered body of Christ.
Mm.
And at Epiclesis, we don't want you to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go into your average church building, it's usually a row of seats or a row of pews, and your focus of attention is toward the stage, say, or the band, or say the pulpit. And that's sort of the usual setup. Folks are used to that. But we do something a little different at Epiclesis, which might be a little odd to first-time visitors, but we'd love you to experience it. We do worship in the round. And Rick, we talked about this in our last broadcast.
Right.
But one of the reasons we do that is so that the focus is on the Lord's table.
Mm-hmm.
But another really important reason for it is that it has a way of focusing on the body of Christ in that we can really see one another, right? We can
yeah.
see each other participating and join in together as we participate in worship.
Yeah. I was thinking back to a lot of artwork of the past where it depicts the angels around the throne or it depicts the saints around Jesus. And they tend to be in a round with him at the focal point or the throne at the focal point.
Mm.
And I was just thinking that I don't know if there was an element of intentionality or if that's just because we're thinking on the same wavelength as a lot of other people have over the history of the last 2,000 years or so. But yeah, there is this reality that that we are not the focal point, but yeah, that we are collectively investing in one another. It's also the way that we do community, because it's not just that we're in the round and then we're, you know, like singing and listening to the teaching, but there's a high level of opportunity for participation.
Now, what do you mean?
So there are a variety of different things that we do within our worship gathering. We have a lot of structure, but we also have a lot of free time, if you will,
yeah.
Where you or I or one of the other leaders will provide an opportunity for people to speak, share a testimony, share some scripture, offer up a prayer request or something like that. And in the round, it's much more family oriented because you're looking at the person while they're talking. I mean, how weird is it to try to do that with, if you're all looking in the same direction, it feels very disconnected to me. If somebody's trying to share a like, I need prayer for this, and you're just staring at the back of their head in a row three deep, you know, ahead of you here, you know, because we're in that environment, the way it's structured, you're making eye contact with people. What touches me is I know people that are going through stuff, and I see the moment when God really gets a hold of them, you know, and maybe it's a little tear. And then the person next to them, maybe a family member or a friend, puts an arm around. And you're like, you see that across the way and you're blessed by that. And then you're inspired by that, because then it's, you start looking around too. And just, you become more aware of the people around you. You become more cognizant of not just the stuff you're going through, but the stuff they're going through, and that they're real. I mean, there's a dignity to what we do, I think, that like you are giving value to other people. Not that it's intentionally being avoided in other environments or obscured, but just that we put a high value on ourselves collectively and then the individuals in that, and the opportunity to bless and be blessed by others.
Well, I mentioned one time in a previous episode of Ancient Future Faith with Pastor Ellen that sometimes this business of sitting in the round or being seated in the round with other worshipers can be a little, what's the word?
Intimidating?
But for first-time folks, it's certainly something to get used to,
yeah.
For some people anyway, because you're looking at other people and they're looking at you. So if you like the idea of being anonymous or slipping in and kind of being lost in the crowd in worship, then Ecclesis probably is not for you.
Yeah,
if your heart sings, if your spirit soars at the thought of being in a worship environment where you are participating with others in worship and can see and hear and be participating with them as they worship and as you are worshiping, then it's something that's really powerful.
Yeah. For me, it's almost like this. It's like the first time you go to an IMAX theater. You've experienced movies in a certain way, and then all of a sudden there is an overwhelmingness to it, because like I said before, you're seeing the emotion of people going through and processing out and living out their faith and experiencing their faith, and you make eye contact with someone else, you know?
Right.
And yes, okay, at first, for a lot of us, myself included, because I'm you know, more of a introvert, it's just like, whoa, this is a lot more information than I'm used to taking in. And yet, if you open yourself up, if you allow yourself to not just, you know, kind of knee-jerk, but if you really see the value, or if you allow yourself to see the beauty of it, it's very impactful. It's very, very impactful. It changes the way you do worship. Because it's not about like me, what am I getting out of this message? It's not about me, what am I getting out of this worship time? It's like, wasn't there a song in the 60s, like me and Jesus got our own thing going on or something like that? I remember some song sometime in the past. But anyways, the point of it is you can't hide and you can't isolate yourself.
Yeah.
You just can't. You can't come in here and you can't turtle up and just try to deal with your own junk in your life on your own, because we as a church family care too much about you to let you do that.
Yeah, that's well said. Folks, you're listening to an interview with, isn't he wonderful, by the way, folks, with Rick Ashy. He's our pastor for intergenerational discipleship. I'm also proud to say my friend and colleague. And you're listening to a program called Ancient Future Faith. We're brought to you by the Ministry of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. We're talking about community and ostensibly about the way we're set up physically on a Sunday morning in worship in the round. But Rick, this also points to the way we want to do church as a community. The second part of our title is an Ancient Future Faith Community. So we're called Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Community. And we used the word community on purpose because we wanted to emphasize that we want to do church, we want to do life together. Sometimes that's messy, but it's wonderful to do it together. We not only are worshiping together, but we want to do life together. So whether in our small groups, whether in our weekly meetings for prayer and communion, whether it's our women's gathering or our men's gathering or retreats or whatever, whether frankly it's just when we're checking in with each other or whatever. I should also say our pastors, actually all of us, try very hard to pour our lives into one another. Rick, we're really trying to do church together.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, you're probably doing something right as a church when at least half your people are sticking around so long that you have to like kick them out. Like, okay, we got to go home. Like we got to, you know, we got to go prep for Bible, you know, or whatever it is. And that's a long time. Like I find, you know, that after church, people are just hanging around and talking and praying for one another and catching up. And, you know, and I think that has a lot to do with the realization of what we're talking about, this epiclesis, this desire for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be rooted into and just full of, you know, all the things that we do. And so it's not just a punch the clock in, punch the clock out, you know, get out of here as fast as I can.
I did church today. Ding.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, but that it spills over.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Because the reality is, I mean, we have a structured time, our worship gathering, but you can't do everything in that time. We recognize that. You can't pray for everybody's everything. But the beauty of an environment like ours, the way that it's designed, is that that's okay, because there are people that'll hang around and spend time talking. It's funny. I even love watching you. You'll just, you know, I'll be talking to some group over here and I'll look, and then, you know, you'll be sitting in one of the chairs with arm around the shoulder of someone, just listening to whatever it is that they're wanting to tell you, you know. And then a couple of minutes later, it's someone else. You know, it's not, we're not just rushing off to the next thing, you know, but we're saying that we're going to give the Spirit the time that he's desiring, you know, to make the impact, to make the blessing on people and one another. Because oftentimes I find that people come up to me and ask, you know, hey, how are you doing?
I'm going to bet for some of you out there, there are some things we talked about today that just make your heart sing, your spirit soaring. Because you've been hungry, you've been thirsty for weekly communion. You've been thirsty for a worship experience that's focused on word and table, where the Holy Spirit is welcome, where we're sitting in the round and we're participative and meaningfully participative in worship, where the emphasis is on community, maybe even going to a church where the name is a little different and is a Greek term intrigues you. I would encourage you to learn a little bit more about epiclesis, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S, and go to our website, epiclesis.org, find out some more. Most of all, Pastor Rick, we just love them to come worship with us sometime, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
By the way, I think I mentioned to you, we just produced a little flyer for first-time folks to help walk them through the service in case there are some things that are a little unusual or different that might help them.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is if you come visit, you can always ask the person next to you because they'd love to help you. We as a church family love to guide and to share. And so, yeah, if you come and visit us, the person next to you, they'll help you out. And it's really not that difficult. No. You know, it's really not.
Well, folks, it's always good to have you tune into our broadcast. And Pastor Rick, it's always great to have you here in the studio. Thanks for coming by. I appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely.
So, folks, until we gather for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely the road to our evangelical future, it's going to run through our ancient Christian past. So until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Christmas is over, right? So what happens next? Well, one ancient future thing about our celebration is that Christmas doesn't end with a whimper or roll quietly to a stop. It ends with a big bang called Epiphany, the wonderful season that celebrates the revelation of Jesus Christ. Join us for worship during Epiphany. And by the way, our Sunday morning discipleship series is starting up, and I'd love for you to be a part. As always, get more details on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.